This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Let's say Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Ah, very good one.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
And another one.
No, that's it. Oh, there's Michael with a nice voice. Michael with a nice voice.
Michael with a nice voice.
There we go.
Even Mickey got a shout out.
Hi, Rob, Josh and Michael. This is Buddy, who is 3 in October. That is a great name.
Buddy, what a name.
Fucking great name. He keeps us extremely busy and is currently obsessed with asking Alexa what the weather is doing, saying boobies, and instead of a bedtime story, he now wants to have a chat. My husband Gareth and I love the podcast. It's helped us through all the lockdown, so thank you. In January, we had a little girl, Nell. Another great name.
Buddy and Nell.
Buddy and Nell. Gareth is really not a great name in that house, is it? Let's be honest with you, mate.
Gareth is dealing with a bad name. And what he's done is... He said it stops here. Buddy, Nell. Gareth? Gareth is an awful name, let's face it. No offence. We all know it. It ain't Gary. Gal for short. You won't like that. Gazza, Garth, Gareth. Gareth Southgate.
But you know what? Buddy and Nell, it's the other end of the spectrum, Rob.
Oh, and what's the mum called?
Alice. And their surname is Leek.
Gareth Leek.
Gareth Leek, Buddy Leek, Nell Leek, and Alice Leek. Is that too much information about a family? No, she's put it all in the email.
I could steal their identity, but I wouldn't want it because I don't want to be called Gareth. That is seriously no offence to all the Gareths out there, but you know, you know deep down.
Gareth Southgate.
Buddy Nell. Buddy Nell's great, great buddy. Buddy Nell. Sounds a bit like a gnarly Californian.
Yeah.
Any other famous Gareths? Has there ever been a cool Gareth?
Yeah, Gareth Southgate.
I'm looking for a cool Gareth. Gareth Southgate is not cool. He's a fairly sensible, defensively minded, I'd say mid-level international manager.
Wait, he's the second most successful England manager of all time.
It's not our going though, is it?
No, but you know.
There are no other Gareths.
Gareth Bale.
Again, not cool, is he?
Gareth Gates.
Gareth Malone, not cool. Gareth Gates, not cool.
Gareth Thomas.
No. There's not a cool Gareth. I'm sorry. There's never been a cool Gareth. This is terrible.
Gareth from The Office.
Gareth from The Office.
There we go.
If you are called Gareth...
We are, sorry.
...and you think you're a bit cool, let us know and we can judge. And if it's true, we will big you up.
Yeah. And if you've called your child Gareth, what are you doing?
Have a word with yourself.
Yeah.
You can't call Gareth Barry.
It's not too late to change it to Buddy.
No, it's not. Change your name. I tell you, if you're an adult Gareth and you're going to change your name, go for it. We'll support you.
Yeah. If Gareth Southgate came back for the Qatar World Cup and said, can you call me Buddy? I mean, that's kind of feels like his management style anyway, doesn't it? Call me Buddy. But
if Gareth changed his name to Buddy, I feel more confident about the World Cup.
Buddy Southgate.
Buddy Southgate. Immediately more confident. Wouldn't you?
I can't believe Buddy Southgate's playing seven attacking midfielders, but I suppose that's Buddy Southgate for you, isn't it?
He's gone mad. Since he changed his name by Depol, he's a monster. We've got nine wingers. Josh, let's do some Instagram messages because we blabbered on tired and emotional.
And emails.
I've got a great Insta to kick things off with, if you want it.
Oh, go on then. Why not?
Why the hell not? Here it is. This is about a holiday some people are on. Parenting fail. We took our two-year-old to Turkey with a grandparent and whole extended family. It was an all-inclusive, so the toddler was happily getting juice from the bar to fill up her cup the first few days. You know, the ones that look like slush machines. She was incredibly well-behaved for the trip, napped loads, and allowed us to get a lovely tan.
Oh, no. I know what's going on here.
The husband happened to take her with him one day and the juice cup to the bar. Turns out she had been drinking Sex on the Beach.
That is astonishing.
The hotel swiftly added signs to the machine.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Awful.
That's so dangerous.
Yeah. But so effective, seemingly.
No, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what we're suggesting.
Draw your own conclusions from that. I myself think, obviously, that's terrible.
If you're sitting on the train listening to this, stroking your beard, going, interesting, you're a bad parent. Do not let your kids drink
racily named cocktails.
Even the word cocktail, even that's rude for a child to say. Can I have a cocktail? Hi, Rob and Josh. Love the podcast. It's given me endless giggles just catching up on the Ian Sterling interview with Rob, realising...
Fucking hell, you're far behind. Come on.
Realising the girls have heard the word slut in Mamma Mia 100-plus times. Well, embarrassingly, when me and my brother were younger, my mum recorded over part of Harry Potter, I think it was film one or two, where Ron Weasley says bloody so that we wouldn't hear a swear word.
What?
So she actually edited the film.
What did she record over it with? Like just a bit of other TV?
Yeah, it says so that we wouldn't hear the swear word. So every time we watched the film, partway through, it was suddenly cut to BBC News and then back to Harry Potter.
Amazing.
It was very weird and confusing after realising none of my friends had that issue when they watched the same film. I have to remind my mum about it and it remind her what a weirdo she is for doing it. Keep up the good work, Hannah.
That is phenomenal.
Unbelievable. Bloody. That's bloody's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is the least of your problems is bloody.
Well, I think it would be... If my daughter went, I'll go, how was school? Oh, I had a bloody nightmare at Funky Jazz. I'd laugh my head off. I wouldn't think you'd have to tell her off.
You wouldn't start censoring Harry Potter.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, these children weren't drawing dicks on post-it notes and passing them through the house.
Let's be honest, Rob, you've already lost the battle. Bloody so far in the distance from the situation you're in now.
She's drawing dicks too soon. I've got to sort that out. It could be worse. She could be doing pubes and it's spunking, but she's not.
Oh, it's not far off, is it? It's not far off.
That's 10 years off. That's secondary school. God, don't stop it. I'm panicking now. Oh, Josh, got some emails?
Yep. Do you remember the person who fell asleep at the dentist?
Oh, yes, because she was so tired and they did a filling, yeah.
Joe from Somerset. I'd been up all night with my vomiting three-year-old. The following morning, I was due for an MRI scan on my back. This was the second scan, so I knew what to expect. I had no problems with the noise or feelings of claustrophobia. Settled down on the bed, moved into the scanner machine and immediately nodded off. Oh, what a lovely place to go to sleep.
What a way for an MRI that is. People panicking about being in that tube. She's just gone fully asleep.
The MRI technician woke me up halfway through and she was worried I wasn't responding to her. But I went straight back to sleep again.
I like you passed out through panic.
I came out feeling refreshed and ready to take on the world again. Best sleep in months, Joe from Somerset. Have you ever had an MRI?
Do you know what? I'd love an MRI at the moment.
Mate.
How long do they last? Like half hour sleep?
Oh, they're about 20 minutes, aren't they? And I tell you what. Oh,
slip me in the tube. Wing it round me.
No one will talk to you. It's glorious.
That is bad, isn't it? How busy are you? I've booked in for an MRI this afternoon. What's wrong? Nothing, just tired. Like an EasyJet hotel.
Have you ever had one, Rob?
No, I had it on my foot once when I broke my ankle.
Yeah.
That's obviously different. But it takes a little while. But yeah, a whole body one. I think I would find it quite stressful because I don't like...
It is quite stressful. I've had one.
Well, you had one?
Yeah, I had one for my back, for my neck. And of course...
You had a stiff neck MRI.
Exactly, mate. And, you know, there's no worries about whether I was going to move there because I couldn't move my neck in the first place. So that was a positive. So I had an MRI. Fucking hell. See, it's a really mad experience, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because the noises are so otherworldly. Like, they're like something from a sci-fi film and you're trapped. It is...
Are you allowed headphones?
No.
Oh, yeah, because it's all electric, isn't it? And magnets
Yeah. No, you're not allowed headphones or any of that.
We sounded like two Robot Wars people that have built a robot. I was like, yeah, it's all bloody robots and magnets and spinny stuff. Yeah, mate. So kill a lot won't get close to this. Do you remember all the Robot Wars names?
Matilda.
Matilda was such a weird name.
Yeah, Matilda was one where they... So Kill-A-Lot was the main one, wasn't there?
Yeah, and then Matilda.
Sergeant Bash or something?
Sergeant Bash!
Is that right?
What was the one with the road closed sign that just used to flip them?
Well, that was always the ones that were good. I don't know.
Yes.
You could have a flamethrower. It was a complete fucking waste of time on a Robot Wars. Total write-off.
Or like a little chainsaw thing. It just used to just spark up. You've got the thing with Robot Wars, and I've always said it, people go style over substance.
Totally. You just need to get under and flip. That's all you need to do.
If you get under and flip, you've completed Robot. Matilda cannot deal with that attitude.
No.
Matilda's gone. So Kill-A-Lot, he hasn't got a chance.
What was the one that was like a band, like a spinning saw?
Oh, some sort of razor thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh God.
Oh, I'm on the Wikipedia. I'm doing it now. Here I go. I'm going to get them. Cast members. Would it be a cast member?
Cast members. Come on, this isn't fucking Equity. Oh, yeah, I seem to remember Sir Kill-A-Lot from his role in Doctors.
Battle rules. Immobilization. Aggression. Damage. Oh, what are the names? Here we are. No, I think this is the American one, but yeah, Matilda. I forgot about Matilda. Jeremy Clarkson used to present it.
Did he?
Clarkson, Pierce, Charles, O'Brien, and Scanlon.
Yeah.
House Robots, Dead Metal, Growler, Matilda. They all sound like grinder names. Sergeant Bash, Mr. Psycho.
Mr. Psycho?
Refbot, Shunt.
Shunt.
Dead Metal, Cassius Chrome.
Is that a pun on Cassius Clay?
Yeah, but it's a terrible pun, isn't it? Oh, what was its strengths? Fastest house robot. Weaknesses? It did go on strike during the Vietnam War. Fair enough, Cassius Crow.
I don't even understand this.
He's actually... Oh, no, actually, sorry. It's not Cassius Crow anymore. It's a Mohammed Metal.
Here is an admission, Rob.
Yep.
I didn't give a fuck about Robot Wars. I didn't care about Robot Wars.
I love Robot Wars. I thought you'd be all over it.
On paper, you'd think I'd love Robot Wars.
And on metal.
I didn't care about it.
No. Why not?
I found it quite boring.
I quite like Destruction.
Is that one of the robots?
No. That's...
You mean the concept?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We've done 5 minutes on the robots.
Oh, yeah. We should do what you said the other day, Rob, to me in tech.
Let's do that. I mean, I've enjoyed this. The Big Brother One Robot Wars. If you want a subject for us to mind dump on from nostalgia, maybe TV from the past, let us know and we'll do a nostalgia dump on it.
Yeah.
We've just done Robot Wars. We've done Big Brother. Send one in and we'll go for it.
Do send them in. Michael, we won't have had an email by next week because we're recording it in advance. So, Michael, you can choose the topic for next Tuesdays.
Let us know what, Michael. Have a think.
Okay, great. I'll have a think.
Right. Okay, here's Jesse Ware. Oh, what? I don't know what this podcast is anymore, Josh. We don't talk about kids or do the emails.
No, but Jesse Ware's doing that for us.
We're talking about kids with Jesse Ware. She's got kids.
Exactly, yeah. See you next week to talk about what lasts the summer wine. Bye.
Oh, heartbeat. Green grass.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Do you have weak, damaged hair? New Garnier Fructis hair filler systems fill hair with strength 7 layers deep. In just one use, you can reverse up to 1 year of damage to hair smoothness. The sulfate-free hair filler plus vitamin CG system gives you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. New Garnier Fructis hair filler is available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores.
Do you want to do the intro, Josh?
Yeah, why not? Jesse Ware, hello.
Hello. God, I'm really interested to know about this intro that you do. You're much more prepared than my mum and I.
That was the intro.
Oh.
There is no intro. We just say hello and we take turns. Hello, Jessie Ware.
You're not going to talk about my accolades and my parenting accolades. Actually, you don't know because I haven't got any.
You've got three children and...
Yes.
We know that. That's good. Is that correct?
It is correct. I've got a five-year-old who's just started school, and then I've got a two-and-a-half-year-old, and then a 10-week-old.
Oh, my God.
10 weeks.
I actually, my heart rate went up then, as you said to all those. I could feel myself getting a bit more stressed.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, how old are yours? Yours are in school now, right?
Yeah, I've got a five-year-old in year one of school, and then I've got a three-year-old who's like in nursery, nearly four. So she's in like 3 or 4 days a week. So they're pretty much in school now, which is... groundbreaking.
You've got a kind of system.
Look at the smile on his face.
I do look smug.
You look like a different person to the other two people there.
I might sit this one out, guys. I don't feel like
good
I've got...
for you, Rob.
Me, I've got a three-year-old and a four-month-old. So I'm not a million miles from you.
No.
Well, also, I've just to say, though, guys, I've got to do the school run. So can we wrap this up in about 4 hours' time? Is that okay? Is that all right for you?
I've got to do the school run too, whilst also implementing the afternoon nap in the sling. Because, I've got a whole system. I'm like militant with this third one.
Oh, really?
I don't know about you, Josh. How are you doing with the four-month-old? Do you feel like you're being stricter with the old sketch? Or have you got no sketch?
We haven't got... He doesn't seem to be into... sleeping in the daytime, which is pretty oppressive. So his record nap so far is 45 minutes, which is not long enough.
No, you can't get through an episode of anything on Netflix with that.
No,
really.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's not long enough.
How about you? So you're going for. Have you got a clear schedule? So what are you on? 2.5 months, basically.
Yeah, I feel, and I know this will divide people that listen, and I apologise in advance. I tried with my first one. To like do the thing where I was like, you know, I'm a pop star. She's got to be on the road. She's got to be able to kind of, you know, jam with the musicians at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, and that shit didn't work. So then I realized the hard way when she hadn't slept through the night, like until like, what, like 10 months. And then second one was a little bit more like, you know, bad cop. And then this one, I was like, mate, you got to like fit in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Full Russell Kane, we call it here. Full Russell Kane.
Oh, is that what Russell Kane does? Okay.
Well, Russell Kane managed to get his child to sleep through the night for 10 hours within about 45 minutes of delivery with a technique where it's not about getting them to sleep, it's about keeping them awake so they're tired for bedtime. Blackout blinds, air conditioning and flannels on their feet to wake them up if they do nod off before bedtime.
Yeah, he got it from Guantanamo Bay, his technique.
But he stands by it and it has worked for him. So, you know, you can't judge anyone in this game.
Listen, maybe I'll try the flannels.
Yeah, you're straight onto Amazon to order 10 flannels.
Russell? Yeah.
How cold is the water? Is it ice cold?
You know what? Like, yeah, I think my youngest has realised he needs to just put up and shut up and he just watches because my son is an incredibly noisy 2.5-year-old. And so he makes enough noise for all of us.
Okay. Yeah. And it's also that's middle. Now you've got a middle child on your hands. You had a youngest 3 months ago and I'm a middle child and I'm here to tell you
what happened.
You are just worse because you have to fight for more attention.
I disagree with you because I am a middle child and I am the best child of all my mum's children. So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But no, my son, yeah, he's struggling with, I think he's struggling. Bless him. He's done all right. The 5-year-old just kind of thinks that he's a dolly and she likes it. And she goes like this to me. She goes, Mum, I think he needs feeding. Like, she's like the mother-in-law.
Oh, really?
You're like, wow. No, I've got this, darling, I've got this. And she's like, no, Mum, I really think you need to feed him.
At that age, they do get like that, don't they? It's unbelievable. That 1 year at school completely changes them into they're tiny Karens, aren't they? No, Daddy, you forgot the lemon. Fuck off. I didn't even really want lemons. I just half said that in the shop. No, you keep bringing lemons up. Whenever we go to the shop, my daughter will say, you forgot the lemons. Like, and they are like a nagging mother-in-law.
Totally. But my 2.5-year-old, he did a thing. We thought he was doing all right with the new one, but then he had a kind of empty pram, you know, the miniature ones that you've got in your playroom. You've got about 5 of them broken. But yeah, we had one of them and my husband said, where's the baby? And he said, oh, he's dead. And Sam went, oh, my husband went, oh, that's really sad. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So you're really getting on well with this new one. Yeah, he basically killed his brother.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is he 2.5 and he's aware of death then?
Well, apparently, I don't know. I feel like The Lion King was maybe played... It's Circle of Life. Oh, yeah. My God.
Too much.
It's really hard.
It's too much for me.
But I remember when my daughter saw it first time and her older cousin said... when Simba's dad is dying and it's written, and my Spoiler. Daughter went, he's just sleeping. And her cousin was like, he's dead. And and I think, yeah, she got, yeah, some hard truths.
Oh, God.
Did it need such a brutal death? Because there's an old lion dying and then there's been trampled to death by a wildebeest.
So you're saying, Rob, that you think the lack of success of The Lion King is they've misjudged how they put that film together.
Yeah, I just think, you know, if they got it right, imagine the success The Lion King could have been.
So you've got a tour coming up and presumably you're taking your baby on the tour. How's that going to play out sleep-wise?
So I've been quite strict with this schedule, which I know really divides the crowd, and it's, you know, a bone of contention with my mother. Well, my mum is like, you know, she always just thinks the baby's hungry and all that. So anyway, I've been quite strict, and actually, not Gina Fording it, like he never cries, but he's an amazing sleeper. But like, yeah, he's kind of nearly sleeping through the night, so I'm fingers crossed by kind of that, that 4-month regression when I'm going on tour. Amazing. But yeah, I'm going to take him. So the baby will be in the rehearsals with me, kind of doing some jazz hands with me. And then the baby will come on tour, but the other two won't. But I don't know how I'm going to not be able to see the other two, because I'll kind of have to isolate fully, meeting the little one. Yeah, and so it's this weird thing where it's like, well, when do you start isolating? Because, like, the kids are bringing back... I don't know if you've had Noro recently. Like, we've all been having Noro in Southeast London. So that's going around.
Whereabouts in Southeast London?
I'm in New Cross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I used to live in New Cross.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we're down in Bromley Way now, a bit further out.
Is everyone trying to get into Emma Raducanu's school?
Yeah, she's around the corner. I've not seen her.
I literally Googled which school she went to. I was like, could I get in? Is the catchment okay?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all. None of them can read or write, but that's tennis. Yeah, our lunchtime is off the charts. Are you breastfeeding then with this one? Or like, so could you not leave the baby at home with your husband, kind of thing?
Oh, man, do you think, like, I'm mixed feeding because my boobs just never have worked properly. Yeah. And actually that kind of works kind of well in the fact that my husband can then give him a bottle. So I kind of do a bit of both.
Yeah.
I like to say the boob is like a kind of an amuse-bouche or a side salad.
Sure, right, okay. Yes, of course.
So, so I could leave the baby at home, but I kind of don't. I don't feel like I can be away from him for that long, even though my husband's like...
How long's the tour?
Well, it's only like 10 days. But I don't know.
I think you're over-rehearsing, Jesse. Just go out there and bang out a couple of tunes. You don't need 6 weeks for a 2-week gig. I'm the most efficient man in comedy, mate. 3 days in a panel show, 2 a day, see you later.
I love you.
So your partner will have the other two school runs and all that kind of stuff while you're on tour.
Yes.
And you have the,
yeah.
Yeah, 3 on your own is a lot as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before a show, it's not like I need to get in the zone or anything, but I just, for the hour or two before I do a tour show, I just want to, like, stare at my phone or, like, eat and just be, like...
Totally.
When are you going to go, right, that's baby time over, now I'm about to do a tour show?
So I've had an experience of this before where I took my daughter on tour in Europe and we had this tour bus and we had, like, you know, the star room on a tour bus where you get a double bed.
Oh.
I'd never had one in my life.
I didn't know about this.
And my daughter and my husband had it. So I was still in the bunks, which was absolutely fine. So my daughter, at the age of 18 months, was in the star room with my husband so that he'd kind of get up with her. And it was like, my husband was there and I brought my brother along, but my brother had such a great time on Grindr. He was barely like into babysitting. He was really cleaning up in Berlin. He was like, I'm not doing bedtime tonight because it's pinging off.
Exactly. It starts driving the bus. I'm going to Munich.
So we did it and it was a bit like crazy camping and it was highly stressful but kind of amazing. Sadly, she doesn't remember any of it. But I would kind of go, right, night, she'd have kind of dinner with us and I'd say night, night. And then it was when it was bedtime, I'd go and get my makeup done and then I'd kind of have to switch from like mum mode to pop star. Where, yeah, this time, yeah, it's going to be exactly the same. And that's kind of why I needed my little man to have a really good schedule so he could feel really comfortable to be like, right, okay, this is bedtime.
God, it's so stressful.
It's, I mean, I watched Pink's documentary. which was really amazing. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be like that. And then I remembered I'm playing academies, not stadiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember reading that Paul and Linda McCartney, when they got together, never spent a night apart in the, for the rest of their lives. So, and she was in Wings, and they would take their three kids just on all of their tours.
I can't think of anything worse.
No.
For the parents and the kids, do you know what I mean? Listening to Wings every night. Do some of the old stuff, Dad, fuck's sake.
Poor old Stella.
Come on. Wings again. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. Have you never had any of your kids come on your...
No. Well, we don't really tour that way where we... Well, you know, you do your... Like, we don't really do big European tours. I'm going to Australia to tour next year, but I'll go on my own for like 2.5 weeks and get it all done where it's not worth bringing them, I don't think. And because like, you're not doing one thing or the other, I think. You're not on holiday with them and you're not properly working. And I would rather go there and then... have a bit of time on my own. I think it's very good to have time on your own away from your partner and your kids and vice versa. So I'd rather go to Australia and do that and then come back, Lou go over her friends, and then we have a proper 2-week holiday somewhere as a family rather than trying to do it all at once all the time, you know. Saying that, I am taking them to Dubai to do gigs in a couple of weeks, but...
I need to ask you how it works. Like, I'm into this whole thing of you now have to ask permission to take... Because now my daughter's in reception.
Yeah.
This whole thing about, like, if I'm going to do work, then can they come out? Or is it like...
Oh, I see.
I don't know that.
Do you get fined?
I've done it because it's just half term anyway. So that's when the gig was. So it's lucky how it felt.
Like, are you factoring that in, though? Like, that you go...
We had to reschedule it because of COVID.
You said, can we do it during term time so I don't have to take them? But it all went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It all went wrong. But no, I just said, oh, can we do that October half term? And I think... Because Dubai is a bit more holiday, it's such a holiday destination. It's quite a good time to do it because there'll be like Brits over there that might go as well because they're on holiday. But
and do you think they'll come to the gig?
I think it'll be more Brits that live over there already. I don't think.
No. I don't mean the kids. I mean your daughters.
The demographic.
I wasn't worried about your sales.
No. They won't come to the gig. I did Bromley the other week, and I was going to take them so they could see the stage, but I don't really care or know what's going on. Also, it's exciting seeing their mum dancing like it's Strictly with the music and the disco and lights and all the other dancers. Yeah. I just shuffle out and complain about my body and my mind to a few hundred people every night. It's not really the same thing. It's just me talking, but no one interrupting, so it's not.
I think there's like definitely my daughter's at the age where she'll now maybe understand that like she needs to be nice to me because people adore me. And and so I'm basically doing it as a lesson.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make her, with her bloody sofa on the side of the stage, go, look at how many people like your mummy, so don't be rude to me.
Don't watch me, watch the people that like me, okay? Because actually, some people like me in this world.
Exactly. But I mean, I think she'll understand. My son will be like, I want to watch Fireman Sam. And also, he's too young. He'll fall asleep. I think she'll fall asleep too. But I'm going to try it.
When you're like not on tour, like so, and what's the sort of setup with the parenting and stuff? Like, is your husband working a lot? Is it sort of a 50-50 split, or did because it's so ad hoc? You're doing podcasts, you're doing tour, and is it a bit all over the place?
It's chaos, but it's our kind of chaos that we quite like. But my husband's a personal trainer, and he's also a really great man for putting up with my jobs that kind of take me everywhere and anywhere. So he's an amazing dad, but he's fucked it because basically when we had the case of Noro and my daughter's shitting on the Sizal staircase, which I tell you, getting diarrhea out of Sizal is a bugger.
What's Sizal?
Sizal is a kind of carpet that it really seeps in, and it's a really good one for staining.
Yeah, okay.
It's rough and has kind of ridges, so you know, you're trying to scrape. Anyway, so that happened.
Oh, fucking hell. Sorry, that imagery just hit as you said that.
Sorry. So my husband's also... Yes, exactly. My husband's a Virgo and he's a bit of a... I'm a slob and I can't live in...
I don't think you have to be a Virgo to know that there's shit in your carpet though, Jessie. I don't think the star signs get... I mean, you know, like, if you're into star signs, that's on you, but I'm just sad.
I'm a Capricorn, so I don't mind shit on a carpet.
I'm Cancer. Sick shit, bring it on. I'm a chill.
So basically he was running up and down the stairs, and I usually use the baby as an excuse to not move much because I'm like, oh, I'm feeding. So fucking matey bloody fucked his knee. He's got this bursitis thing the other word for it is housemaid's knee.
Yes.
Because he's been working too hard in the house and I've made him work too hard. He's like, look what you've done to me. Oh, I've got housemaid's knee.
That happened to my friend. He got housemaid's knee because he was going down on his knees too much. And doing, especially if you're, I don't know how tall he is, but like my mate's like 6'5". So he's constantly having to go on his knees to help him get him dressed and bend over the time. And he completely ruined his knees.
Yeah, it's his kindness has fucked me over and he's out for 6 weeks. So I'm having to do everything now.
And he's a personal trainer. How hard was you working him?
It's a mate, I know.
Yeah,
I feel,
personal
I feel
trainer
bad.
Should have strong knees, right?
No, I agree.
As someone in the music industry, I've noticed it, especially because you get treated very well even as a comedian or doing a bit of telly, but music industry, I think you get treated so well and like you can be in control of that and not, but whenever I meet people and they come, there's always loads of people with them getting any whim and stuff like that. So how is that to go from work mode when you are being treated like that? I don't know if that's your experience, but and then you come home and you've got to be the person looking after the kids like that, because you do see it. Pop stars. You must have them last leg, Josh, when they come on the pop stars. And
mate, let me put it this way: when we did the Paralympic homecoming, Chase and Status were 2 minutes late to go on stage, and we had to fill. And
and.
I've never forgiven them. That 2 minutes late, oh, look, who do you think you are? Here he
is. He's the invalid. Yeah,
housemaid.
Yeah, they're saying hi.
Here's the housemaid over here. Just making some lunch.
Just made me
worry
some lunch.
About
don't worry, I've still got him fucking whipped.
I'm going upstairs to get the baby now. He's crying. Don't worry about it.
Oh, here it's all coming out now.
He still knows what's good for him.
He seems to be walking
all
right to me. He seems to be walking okay.
Do you want to ask him about the question, whether how you readjust from being pop star to being mum and having everything done for you?
The guys want to know, how have I readjusted from being pop star and mum and having things done for me? Am I, you know...
However you readjust.
Do you think I'm, you know, I can
I
really switch...
I wish I filmed you putting the bins out last night. That was the first time in 2 years I've seen that.
Did you hear that?
You filmed it for 2 years.
Look, the bins are his thing.
Well, yeah, we can tell he's injured.
He's so good at it. He's so good at putting the bins out.
Our thing.
But anyway, I mean, look, I took the bins out last night. You know, I'm.
She hasn't readjusted. I mean, it's telling that he actually videoed you taking the bins out.
Listen, he was shocked. We were all shocked.
And is that because of his knee? Were the bins too heavy for his knee?
Mate, he's really milking it, and I'm just letting him, like, I'm indulging him a bit. Like, he had it elevated, and he was watching the City match. So I was like, you know what, you have this. Because
I
haven't done the bins for 2 years, so, you know.
2 years, that is...
Yeah, I owe him.
You enjoy Man City losing. I've had some fun.
I mean, look, like, I like to say we're a team. He'd be like, I'm your slave, but... We are a team. Like, I do the cooking, and I am the person that organises, like, the shop, which, as you discussed, is... You know, on your what's it? Your Ocado ad. It's highly stressful.
It's stressful.
It
getting
is
the
very
shopping.
Stressful. Yeah, though Ocado do make it easy, I should say.
With a brilliant range of own range goods.
Yeah.
Oh, we love Ocado.
You do the shop and you do the cooking. Is that right? You said.
Yeah, and I do the like organizing play dates, which are
mental load stuff.
I feel like I do the mental load. He's like much better. He's more fun than me. Like he's the one that fucking amps them up before bedtime, and I'm like Miss Trunchbull. It's like, okay, it's not. It's bedtime now, and he's like they're all kind of being dinosaurs and laughing and tickling and having fun, and I'm the bad cop all the time. But no, we kind of work. I don't know. We're a team. We've also been together since we were 18, so know each other, you know, so well that I can't get away with too much shit. I definitely try though.
And you've got a very close relationship with your mum.
Yes.
And so what have you learnt from, like, your upbringing that you've applied to your own parenting? What is it that's meant that you and your mum are so close now? Were you always like that?
Food. She's a really good cook. And she's amazing. My mum is really inspiring. She's a bit of a... She's a diamond. Like, she's such a star. And she's... I think she was really inspiring. She really brought us up on her own. And it was three of us. And she's a social worker and she's a... brilliant woman, but she's also kind of completely sassy and brilliant. And I think when I started the podcast, you know, I knew people would warm to her, and she's kind of the best for conversation. Actually, we've got to have you on the podcast. We're desperate to have you on. And we cook you a nice meal, and it's like, praise, you know, it's a nice evening.
Nice. Very nice.
Also, I was in South-East London, so I'll be home in 15.
Exactly,
I'm
lovely.
Like, no offence, if you're talking our gate, I'm probably not going to do it. But New Cross, I'm in.
You have to wait until my kitchen's done then. So that's going to be, you know, we'll do it in the new year. Otherwise, you clap them, and I don't know how that works for you.
Oh, no, it's a nightmare. Not, especially with the fuel nightmare. Shortage, yeah.
God, have you tried to get fuel?
No, I've just realised how little I use my car, that I've realised that I can live without my car all of a sudden.
Do you feel quite smug about that, Josh?
No, I just feel like I've wasted money on my car. I feel like, wait a minute, if I'm not willing to wait 45 minutes for petrol, how much do I need this car that I've got? Do you know what? If I don't use my car for 2 months, it's fine. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just getting a cab.
Oh, I've got electric one, so I feel a bit smug.
Oh my God, there were very good memes going around last week about that.
Well, who knew out of us three I'd be the biggest hipster with my electric car? You know, you dinosaur juicers chugging around them dinosaur juice. Yeah, so what, because obviously she well, like you said, she sort of brought you up sort of almost as a single parent, is that right? So she had to do it all.
Yeah, she's amazing, and I think I kind of learnt from her. She always exposed us, like we always were doing things, so I think I've learned that from her. She took us places. We always went on holidays, or we went and did kind of fun things at the weekend. We were always making her take us to the Trocadero. Do you remember when that was really popular?
Yeah.
And Alien War she was having to do like every week. And I just kind of, I love her for that. She spoiled us with loads of attention and fun things whilst always having a good cooked meal. And I don't know, she made it look effortless because I bloody require matey who's out of action and a host of other people to help me. I can't do it, and I can't imagine how she did it all on her own when it's full on.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It blows my mind, stuff like that. And I kind of go, am I just soft? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think you are,
All right, fine.
No, I'm joking. You're not soft. You know, I'm joking.
And your other podcast, your new podcast, should I say, Is It Normal?
Oh, yeah.
This is a great idea. So this is, each podcast takes you through 2 weeks of pregnancy.
Yeah, so until at 30 weeks, and then we do like week by week because we kind of introduce things about, you know, induction methods, pain relief, you know, doulas. So we kind of have a whole span of...
That's such a good idea.
It really spans... Yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely not me being prescriptive and telling people what to do. It's me asking the questions, speaking to experts and trying to make it as broad as possible. You know, some people want to have, you know, dim lights, have known pain relief, have, you know, chanting, I don't know, singing bowls and all that. And then the other people may have want all the drugs in the world or have an elective C-section. It's like any everyone wants something different. Everyone has a different pregnancy. Everyone has a different birth. And so we're just kind of offering all this information that takes you through your pregnancy, where I speak to a midwife and an obstetrician, kind of we alternate and just hear what's going on. And then we kind of, you know, gear up to the big day.
Oh, that's great. As a little companion piece for people going through the pregnancy each week. Oh,
brilliant. And I think also, like, you know, especially when we were doing it, it was a time when, you know, we were in lockdown, like fully lockdown, that miserable, you know, that January.
So was you pregnant for the whole of lockdown, basically?
Yeah, I was pregnant from November, I think. Like October, November. Yeah. And so I think it was that need for kind of a... some kind of continuity that I think lots of, you know, pregnant people really, really want during their pregnancy. They want to see the same midwife. And sometimes they can't, and that's completely understandable. But I just wanted that reassuring voice and those voices in their ear.
Yes.
And to show that everything is completely normal, even if you think that your boobs are a bit too itchy. Oh, somebody else has got an itchy boob. You know, you don't want to have sex with your husband. No worries. Nobody wants to have sex with their husbands when they're pregnant.
Like, I think I have to give this podcast a loo. You've done two already. One for each of us.
But it's a helping hand during pregnancy.
Oh, brilliant. No, because Lou and, like, you know, obviously it's more Lou than me, but like we found it quite a stressful experience. There's so many worries. And if you're already a bit of an anxious person,
it just gets
amplified and stuff.
You told me that you found it, you said it was actually more stressful for you than Lou, didn't you? That's what you said.
No, I said I didn't enjoy it though. That's the only thing about being a dad where I want to be like, well, I am like sort of, you know, fully involved sort of modern dad, but if I had to be 1950s dad, if you're allowed one 1950s dad card, it would be being in the pub for the Labour. That's the one I'd play.
Really?
Out of all the ones you can play, you know, like of the old school approach, I hated every second of it and just couldn't wait to get out of the hospital quicker. I just found it total loss of control. Didn't know what I was doing. I didn't enjoy any of it. Just wanted the baby out and dressed and in the car. I didn't enjoy it at all, really.
How did Lou find it?
The same, but the second one was a bit better, but we had a really traumatic first one where the waters broke in like the corridor, and then she got chucked in the room, she got left alone, and we had to run around trying to find a midwife, and then she came out, and it was all like, and then there was it the muconium? Is it muconium?
Meconium,
yes. Yeah. So they had to get the paediatrician, and they immediately went to the paediatrician, and they had to check, and then had to check for the hearing. So it wasn't... There's a way worse stories, but it's not a competition. It's not top drama.
It wasn't a laugh,
but
though,
no,
was it?
It was everything that happened. And I forgot the fucking red book, and I had to drive home to get it. And it was everything was a fucking nut.
That fucking red book gets lost.
Put it online, for fuck's sake. Jesus. Fucking red book. I've got nothing on paper. Even MOTs I ain't got. No one fucking red book.
The one people that have to remember paperwork are people with like a 6-week-old baby.
I know.
People that shouldn't have to remember paperwork.
I know. You're so right.
Oh, I hated it. But I think we had a bit of a traumatic experience with and some people love it. And we had Charlotte Church on. He's had an amazing time with a couple of her kids. And then the third one was a bit more problematic. But yeah, I found that a very stressful experience. How was it for you, the labours?
Well, like, that's the thing. I think you're so right. Every pregnancy and birth is different, even if this is going to be your second or third, you just never know what's going to happen. And it's that like giving over that you can have no kind of control, can you? You just have to have as much information as possible so you kind of can hopefully understand, so you can maybe rationalize it, but I don't know. I feel very lucky. I've had pretty straightforward births, and mine have been all right.
But that's the thing. But then you shouldn't. But that's fine though. That you shouldn't feel bad about having that. That's like, it's your experience, and just because some people have not enjoyed it, you can really enjoy it. And for some people, it's a great experience. I think as well, on top of the fact that
the Ring of Fire is never enjoyable. I mean, that is fucking horrendous every time. But anyway.
Yeah, the pain's never a job. But I do find, I think as well, at that point, I think was in a very different, like 6 years ago, of like mental state of where I was finding life quite overwhelming and quite anxious. So that on top just sort of went like a volcano, sort of over exploded. Whereas now, if we were to have another one, I'd be, even if it was quite stressful, I think I'm in a much better mental space to deal with it and calm myself down rather than getting overwhelmed and stuff. But it was just...
But you've chilled out a lot since your two kids went to school and you just sit around all day, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine now. Don't worry about that. But yeah, at the time. Well, the water's broke and all of trousers got wet, obviously. And then I panicked. So I took my trousers off and gave them to her in the corridor of the hospital. I was a man on the edge. Fucking when the red book came out, it was awful.
I don't think she didn't care about bloody trousers. I love that. That's so sweet.
Well, no, she's about to give birth. You don't need another pair of trousers on, do you? That's the last thing you need.
Oh, mate. I mean, look, my thing is that I've been lucky with my births, but my postnatal thing, the breastfeeding has always been an absolute bugger for me.
Yeah.
And so it's so funny. It's kind of, you know, you never know how it's going to go. But
yeah, because there's so much pressure. Do you find it's a bit like overwhelming, the pressure of, I suppose maybe you're different now, but with your firstborn, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's sort of like, oh, you must be able to do it because that's what mums do. And if you can't produce it, it must hit your confidence.
I think actually also the conversation around breastfeeding has really changed, even over the last 5 years. Mm. The beginning, I was really struggling. And my mum was like, this is so weird. Like, I used to just pop you on and 10 minutes.
Oh, God, that's the worst thing anyone can say.
I know. And I was like, well, it's not fucking working.
Children slept. Breastfeeding was easy. Yeah. Everything was fine, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you not think I tried popping them fucking on, Mum?
I know. Totally. And then I was going to all these clinics and like, the breastfeeding drop-in things. And this woman was like, right, what you need to do is set your timer every 2 hours in the night. And I was like, if my child is sleeping beyond 2 hours in the night, God, I'm fucking sleeping, mate. And so it was highly stressful. And then like did the whole lactation consultants on the second one, was like, I'm going to smack this. Yeah. It was because I went back to work too quickly. It's because I wanted to get them on the bottle too quickly. No, it was the same fucking thing. And then this time I was like, I just had formula ready. I was like, right, I'm not going to, this is how it's probably going to go. And that's how it's gone again. And I'm okay. I've made peace with it this time.
Would you consider doing the podcast like beyond the pregnancy, like for that first year or something?
Yeah, I think I am so obsessed by pregnancy and giving birth. I think that I would love to train as a midwife. I would absolutely, I adore it. I'm obsessed. And the postnatal bit, I'm kind of, I don't know. I think what I wanted to do is I also really enjoy being in the moment with him and not feeling like I was going to kind of prescribe work to it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also I think there's so many other people that are doing the postnatal stuff so well. As they were doing, people are doing great stuff with pregnancy too and birth. But I think I was a bit like, I can't be fucking arsed. I'm already like, is that really bad?
No, I think it's nice because it's a thing, isn't it? Like, this is Jessie Ware's pregnancy thing. And then they could go with you. And it's a standalone thing that you produced in lockdown. You know, it's a great, great thing to add.
And also I think like maybe there's somebody else that could do, and is it normal we get somebody to do a postnatal one? But like for me, I was like, my journey is done. I'm like, I don't want to be no offence to mumfluencers, but I have many other hats that I wear and I don't need to be that as well.
Yes.
I've not heard that word before. Yeah. A mumfluencer.
Oh yeah.
Are we dadfluencers?
Oh, did we just say God, no.
I don't know. Maybe you are.
I don't think I've ever influenced anyone.
I think, but I think we influence in a different way. We're not really talking about like great sort of techniques. And
we're telling everyone to burn the red book first. Yeah. So I feel like,
do you know what? That's what, if everyone stood up and burnt the red book together.
Yeah, but the first 2 months of that, the admin at the hospital would be an absolute nightmare. You'd come back with the wrong one.
It's not what the NHS needs. They just get over COVID and they go, now we've got this red book problem because Josh and Rob have started everyone burning their red book.
Red Book Britain's laying on the M25 with red books. No. We must stop traffic to get rid of the red books.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Is there any tips, though? Obviously, I think a lot of people listening to this, especially pregnant women or people thinking about getting pregnant, like any tips from your podcast? And obviously listen to it in full, but that cropped up that you weren't aware of, even though it was your third. Was there any sort of things that come out that really cut through?
I think that just there are so many different reactions and symptoms during pregnancy that we have merely scratched the surface of, right? We got lots of people to put in voice notes of saying, is it normal that I have funky discharge, or is it normal? Is it normal that I just want to eat bechamel sauce? Like, I mean, I feel like I need to get away from discharge and bechamel sauce. I need to kind of go into another.
They're too similar. It's like piss and a glass of Coke. Oh, I'm just thinking about drinking piss now.
I think what I learned was just that everyone's pregnancy journey is so different, and that there's so much amazing information out there and people that can help, and you can access that privately or through charities. And I think that was what was really amazing, to see how many people there are out there. If you want that help, you can access it.
Well, I think that's why podcasts are so good, because there's so much of it. You can do whatever you want on it. You can talk about things that you maybe, one, there wouldn't be a platform to do it on. Like, if I'm on What the Week, I can't really talk about, oh my God, this happened with my label, you know. And as comedians, it gives you more space to do stuff that hasn't got a punchline right at the end. And I think people can just be more honest. And because it's so niche, you know, getting that, so you've got that show, which is like week by week, that is the week, and a whole episode dedicated to that week of pregnancy, which for a majority of the country would be like, oh, that's a bit quite specific. But for that person, it's the best podcast in the entire world to listen to. So it's sort of just offering those really, you know, those moments in time.
I'm just going to dip in. I'm going to do weeks 12 to 14 and weeks 24 to 26 and then just leave the rest of it. just a couple of episodes.
Well, I have to say, guys, like, you know, the pregnancy podcast is definitely a niche thing. It's mainly yeah. for people that are expecting, right? Yeah. I mean, you're welcome to join us if you're not, but like, you know, you may be interested. But it's really funny because, you know, yours is a parenting podcast and yeah. you are amazing. And somebody at my management, Kirsty, who is 24, she's obsessed with this podcast. She doesn't have any children. She doesn't have a boyfriend. She fucking loves it. So you are breaking the mold of, like, you know, other people, loads of people are listening.
Do you know what? We get loads of people listening to this that don't have
brilliant.
Kids.
Yeah, you're brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Do you imagine if you got together with someone at 24 and then you looked at their phone and they were listening to parenting podcasts exclusively?
Yeah.
And you were
like, parenting and pregnancy podcasts, yeah.
Yeah. Just working through Jesse Ware's parenting profit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that pressure of like, oh, is she keen? Well, she's listening to a parenting podcast, so I think so. But I think I do think, with parenting and same, you know, like pregnancy and stuff like that, it's just like with parenting, everyone's influenced by parenting, aren't they? To a point where either, you know, you've got parents, you might want to be a parent or might not want to be. But if you don't want to be a parent, then that sometimes offers up more questions from strangers and saying you yeah. want to be a parent. So it sort of does, that conversation does dominate your life for whatever reason, I find.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing, isn't it, really?
But you do this twice a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that quite, do you just, I mean, that's the joy of podcasts. It doesn't really feel like work, right? Feels yeah. like a lovely conversation.
Well, yeah, I'm talking anyway, so I might as well record it.
There's been a couple of interviews that really felt like work, I'll tell you that.
Oh, mate. I know about that one, yeah.
Yeah. When the blood drains from your legs 5 minutes in.
Try having a whole fucking first, second and third course with them. Fuck yeah, hell.
Oh, God. Should we get to pudding?
Yeah. We just got nachos today. We'll just share that. No dessert. We're on a diet. Off we go.
Yeah, no, we do it twice a week, but it does feel like it's just become like talking about our lives in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Like a verbal diary, isn't it, sort of thing? Catching
yeah,
up. What almost. I like about it from our point of view is that if you're having a terrible time on a Sunday, I'm just like, I can't wait to tell Josh about this on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly doing something horrible becomes useful for your podcast and your work rather than just doing something horrible.
I mean, have you found that you've got loads of material for, you know, your stand-up stuff, and or do you kind of go, nope, that's for parenting hell, that's for Bromley?
I think it's much more anecdotal, like parenting hell. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't used any in stand-up. I don't know about you, Rob.
What I find is with podcasts, it's so honest. It's sort of the energy of your emotion is what sells a bit, whereas on stage every night, it needs to be functionally a good joke, because by the third month, that energy of emotion's gone, where I'll tell yes. a story on here that will be funny, or Josh will tell yeah. a story that's funny, but it's only really funny because in that moment I can see in Josh's eyes that he feels and means every part of it. And then yeah. sometimes you can tell them on stage, but like, odd stuff that happens to me with my kids, I will tell on stage, maybe in the opening section about, fucking hell, I've had a nightmare day, because it's the immediacy of that energy of it's just uh-huh. happened, where sometimes with jokes, they just need to work in and out, whether you're in the mood for it or not.
Totally, yeah.
And also you've got a disco dance section as well, haven't you, on tour, Rob?
Yeah, I've got to do my disco dance section. Yeah, yeah. I just thought, well, I just wanted to get ripped and just do it. No, I haven't really.
I mean, listen, are you watching Strictly?
My kids are obsessed with Strictly. They absolutely love it, like completely obsessed. Do yours like watching it?
I should let her watch it, but I'm like, that's bedtime, mate. I love bedtime and I love a strict bedtime. I mean, you've talked yeah. about this, haven't you?
Yeah, so what we do is we let them watch like one or two dances, and then they see yeah. the scores and they go to bed. They can watch the rest in the morning on the Sunday morning. But what's your strict? I do quite like how scheduled you are. So what's your bedtime routine with three kids at the moment?
God, it sounds so dull. I mean,
I just leaned in then. That really says a lot about me. I just leaned in.
He wants a bedtime routine. Jessie seems to have it together. She's a pop star. She's got podcasts. We're all taking notes now. What's the sketch?
Oh, mate. I think it's quite similar to every bugger's sketch. We do the, like, 6:15 bath.
That's Josh's time, 6:15.
That's my time, 6:15.
Love a 6:15.
I've moved it back because my five-year-old's not having it.
Well, that's my daughter's not having it either.
So when is she six?
She's six next September, so she's just turned five.
Okay, so mine's six soon. I'd say you're going to have to push it to seven.
Mate.
I'm sorry to bring this news.
But I like to be in bed by 9:30.
9:30?
I'm so boring. I should not be a pop star. I want to do matinees for my whole fucking tour because I like to be in bed early.
If I'm up beyond 10, I feel like this is a bit dangerous.
Yeah. Whoa,
I feel like, what? This is a... What?
Yeah, you're getting cocky here.
Yeah, I'm setting myself up for a fall.
But you know also you're going to have a shit night. Like, two of them are going to be up with either, you know, like wetting the bed or vomiting or something's going to happen that's going to fuck it. If you relax and you like go past like 11 o'clock, you're fucked because either they're going to get up at 4 a.m. or...
Oh, I came in from a gig, I got in at midnight, right, from a gig in Portsmouth. Lou was still up because she was building a desk for the five-year-old, for like an IKEA desk she was putting together, right?
Love Lou.
She's very keen on making sure that the girls see her doing... She's actually better than me. All the IKEA builds, you know, but she's very keen on the girls seeing her do all that kind of stuff with her and stuff. So she was building that, and then our eldest was up in the night because she was moaning about something, but obviously she just wanted to watch Strictly for a bit, and she was crying about a pain. So Lisa, come down and watch Strictly. So I come in at midnight. There's a five-year-old wrapped up in a duvet watching Strictly, and Lou building a desk at midnight. I'm like, what the fucking hell is this house, right? So then she stays up for a little bit longer, and then she goes to bed about 12:30, the five-year-old, because she hasn't got the pain anymore, as a wee gets into bed. Then me and Lou goes, do you want a rum and coke? I was like, all right. We stayed up till 2:30 drinking rum and coke, building desks. And then the next
two?
Half two.
That's very lovely.
And then we had a lovely time, a right old laugh. And then the kids woke up at about 7:00, and because it was weekend, gave them the iPad, laid in bed for a couple of hours. Absolute dream.
Half two.
I know. And I was like, we kept on going, it's 2:30. that would be really naughty.
The other day, I tried to watch Match of the Day 2 and I didn't make it to the end of the first game. And I just thought, I can't do this. I cannot do it.
I have the best schluffs when I'm watching Match of the Day. It's like that one where you like get dribble in your mouth where you're just like, oh, and you're like, yeah, no, definitely time for bed.
The worst is when you're nodded off to like a true crime drama because it starts to seep into your dreams.
Oh, God, yeah.
That happened with me in Vigil the other day. Oof. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Stressful. Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? I'm going to have to change the sketch because I need to stop calling it a sketch as well.
I like it, Jessie. You're a cool pop star. I live in Southeast London. You've got sketches.
Don't know. Right, okay, schedule.
6:15, is it? 6:15.
6:15, but the baby's having a bath a bit earlier because he's getting fed by 6:15. So the kids are in the bath whilst I'm feeding the baby.
Yeah.
The baby goes down like for 7:00 and then the kids are negotiating till about 7:45 now.
Yeah, it's very similar to our house.
I need to basically just push everything a bit and just be done with it.
Because what they do is in that negotiation period, you get them out of the bath at like 7:45, then they go mental for an hour and wake themselves up more and they're just upstairs running riot. So that's why we push it back to 7:00 bath and then 10 minutes play in bed by 7:30 and then should be asleep by about 8:00. So it's the same time that they're going to sleep, but without the hour of stress. So you just get an extra hour downstairs with the kids.
And how's reading stories in your house? Because
my son...
Do you not?
I read with them when they get home from school, if they ask and they've got a new library book. And they get books sent home from school because they've got to move up the levels when they're in reception.
Yeah.
So I do that with them. But pre-bed, I don't read books to them pre-bed. They don't want it.
That's really interesting.
It doesn't calm them down.
I do such a good reading of Harry McClary. I surprise myself how... If I don't get the Harry McClary audiobook contract, something has gone wrong.
I don't even know Harry McClary.
Give us a blast of it. From Donaldson Dairy, that's the one, isn't it,
John? Yeah, Harry McClary. Yeah, I'll just go and grab one from the next room. And then
go on, Josh. We'll end on this and then we'll ask about the question. He's a very sort of... You have to coax it out of him, Josh. He's a right little performer, he is. He loves a little show.
I mean, is there a guitar in the background?
Yeah, he can't play it.
I'm really into performing the books, but they seem to listen to my husband, who I feel like puts in so much less effort with the voices and the kind of... I really take it quite seriously.
Yeah, but they don't like that. They don't like me doing all the voices. They go, Daddy, stop doing the voices, just to read it normally.
They're like, chill out.
But I think it's embarrassing parents.
We've got two bigger egos, aren't we, that we just think that we need to be on the stage and perform the
whole time. Oh, yeah, I'm basically doing a self-tape. Come on, Josh, give us a little blast of this.
So this is Schnitzel von Crumb's Dogs Never Climb. Schnitzel von Crumb is like a character from Harry McClay.
It sounds like a presenter of Eurotrash.
Yeah. So this is like a spin-off like Joey was with Friends.
Okay. Give us a go.
I'm quite nervous, actually.
Just breathe out. Imagine we're all naked.
A dog to remember is Schnitzel von Crumb with his very short legs and his very low tum. He can bury a bone in a minute or two. There are many remarkable things he can do.
Oh, I like it.
I like it.
That wasn't bad, was it?
You have a very fruity voice. I like your voice.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
There's a lot going on there, isn't there? Jesse with his voice.
It's a good voice.
Would it be a good voice for singing?
Absolutely not.
No?
But you have a guitar in the background, Josh, yeah. So what can you play?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, give us a quick sing song.
I was nervous enough doing Schnitzel von Krumm. I'm not about to hit into Blackbird. Come on now.
Sing Jesse Ware. I'll stop my video and you sing Jesse Ware a song.
Absolutely not.
Do you guys, do your kids have songs that you have to sing to them to get them to sleep?
Well, no, we don't sing, but there's songs that they love to be played. They love the Mamma Mia songs, but they'd rather have the originals played on a stereo rather than us sing. But you can sing, Jesse. Right. That's the difference.
Oh, no, no, they tell me to shut up. No, no, right. No, they don't want to hear me. They don't want to hear me.
What do you sing to them?
My son is really into London Bridges Falling Down, but I find it quite menacing, and so much so that he had a nightmare and he woke up because he gets night terrors. And I said, "Are you all right, darling?" And he went, "Mummy, London Bridge is falling down." Oh. I thought, "Oh fuck, poor sod." But no, we have to do the whole Frozen soundtrack.
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
I have to do like Olaf's like operatic thing, and it's quite cringe.
So are you singing for laughs or are you singing well when you do that? Because you know, Into the Unknown. You know that?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That one.
Yes.
But I'm like, and they crack up. But if you could sing it, do you sing it properly?
Oh no, I give it a good go. Yeah, I take it quite seriously. I'm like Monica from Friends. Like I am quite competitive with fucking Idina Menzel. Yeah. Their favourite song that they sing, and actually it's got quite a hook. They go, "I love poo poo, poo poo, and we." I love poo poo, poo poo, and we. And they jump on the fucking bed, and I'm like, right, it's bedtime. But it's got kind of something to it. And I'm kind of like, it's in my head now. I'm like, yeah.
I like poo poo and we. There's a fart song, this is the fart or something that they play, but I don't even know where it comes from. They ask Alexa for it. And then they had Alexa blaring at full volume to Mr. Farty song. And I'm like on a phone call downstairs, and I'm just going, Alexa, stop, shut up.
This has been genuinely such a great episode. It's the first time we've ever overrun just because we've been enjoying ourselves so much.
Oh my God, you're so... No, sorry.
I see that as the ultimate vote of confidence.
I feel like we haven't covered anything, to be honest, but I'm sorry.
No, don't apologise. I meant that as the ultimate compliment.
Oh, please come on the podcast.
Would love to. And next time you've got an album out, come back because we could do this for hours.
Why don't we do one when I'm on tour with my son and let's see how fucking shit it's going.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good follow-up.
We'll do that follow-up.
So you've got Is It Normal, the following the pregnancy podcast, and then what are your other podcasts and your tour? Where can people see and hear you?
Oh my God, you're so sweet doing this little bit at the end. You're so sweet. The spiel, the PR. Right, okay, so Is It Normal? Is It Normal's out now, and you can either listen to it week by week, but then I felt like it was unfair on people that were like 20 weeks, and they were like, well, you're doing it week by week. So you can download it all if you want. Yeah. So that's one option. And then I've got Table Manners that goes on and on and on. Yeah. We just carry on doing it. So like, that's with my mum.
You've had amazing guests on, like Ed Sheeran and people like that. You've had incredible guests on that.
Yeah, no, we're very lucky.
Where are you gigging? Where are the shows?
So the tour is the beginning of December. I think it's all sold out now, but that's for my music. So What's Your Pleasure, my disco record. That's what we're doing.
Are you excited?
I am. I feel so lucky that I get... The podcasting has just been the greatest kind of blessing and has been such an amazing thing for me. I think everyone thought I was such a miserable pop star because I always made quite sad songs and I looked completely terrified, but that looked like resting bitch face. And so for the podcast, it's just been able to, like you were saying, it's so open, honest, and it's really kind of shown me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jesse. Last question is there one thing that your partner does parenting-wise that annoys you, but you can't bring it up because there'll be a massive row?
Oh my God. Okay, so he is the most amazing dad, but I will... It's so
the
fucking annoying.
The speed to Bart is always so interested on this question. you didn't even finish dad. You're amazing dad, Bart.
No, he's... he, honestly, I can't fault him, but I can
and
in many
will.
Respects. He is the person that forgets to feed them when he's out.
Okay.
Because they're having so much fun. So they'll either come back with sunstroke or like severe hunger. But they had an amazing day, but they'll be like... shitting and vomiting from the sunstroke because they had an ice cream for the whole day.
And they turn like that, don't they? They turn in an instant when they're hungry.
Totally, but and he doesn't believe in snacking. I'm a big snacker.
Okay.
That's one thing. I mean, I've got plenty. He riles them up before bedtime that they're all kind of like, they're ready to go out raving. And I'm like, no, this is like calm down time. Let's dim down the lights. Anyway, no, he's wicked. And, you know, he puts the bins out all the time. So love him.
There you go.
Another 2 year streak.
Well, I did think after that, some of that 2 years, you were pregnant for 9 months and then you were breastfeeding. Like, you've got to write off that 9 months as acceptable.
You're totally right, Josh. I am really going to miss the fact that I can't use pregnancy or a newborn as an excuse anymore. It sucks.
Thank you so much, Jesse. It's been amazing.
Thanks so much, Jesse. That was great.
Godspeed and good luck with the bedtime tonight.
Okay, Jessie Ware. I love Jessie Ware, Josh. I've never brilliant. Really spoke to her before. First time I met her. What a lovely lady.
Lovely. Southeast London as well, mate.
Yeah, I don't think she's not vintage. She's moved in. Anyway, right, let's go. See you on Tuesday.
Thank you, Jessie. See you on Tuesday. Bye.
Thanks, bye.